here this week and is sharing some of the School of Christ that you're going through. Really appreciated that. I was just amazed that, you know, how the heart of God, even in the world that we live in, and I thought of that when the angels came and told the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that, you know, God was saying that to the very ones that in a few years were going to crucify his son. He was saying that to Herod. But the heart of God for humanity was that he wanted to spread goodwill to man. He wants goodwill towards us. He wants peace. You know, we live in a polarized day, and yet the heart of God still is to bring peace. Inward peace to our hearts, and then to bring peace to one another. Harmony. The thought there is harmony in relationship to God, first of all, then harmony in relationships with each other. And that's who our God is, and that's why Jesus came. That's what Jesus Christ alone is able to accomplish in this earth if we respond to him. I want to turn to Revelation chapter 5. Before I kind of get in my main thoughts here, it's since Jesse said there was going to be a time of prayer here, I want to look at an aspect of prayer and consistency in prayer. But before I do that, I want us to just see in a few scriptures here in Revelation, who is this tonight that we're praying to? And those that are closest in the revelation of Jesus Christ that John's seen, those that are around the throne, those that are right in his presence, just what pours out of them in worship to God has just been something that's really been challenging me. And I have used this, I go through some of these times of worship in heaven, and just I read them. I'm trying to memorize all of these, which is kind of difficult if you start at my age, but it's a little harder than if you're young. But to enter into the hosts of heaven, what they see of who this God is and what they sense of his awesome presence, his incredible holiness, and just everything that makes up who God is, what just pours out of them as they are there in the presence of the Almighty God, as they're there in the presence of Jesus Christ. And so I want to, to me it's just an exciting thing that we can enter, and I think we need to concentrate on that more. We can enter into the very worship that's going on in heaven because it's been recorded what they are, how they are worshiping God, or what's coming out of their beings to God. So I want to do that tonight before I look a little bit in an aspect of prayer. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Wow, what a number that is. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all them that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. You know, if we could get a revelation of who God is and who this Lamb is that was slain, if we get a further revelation of that, it would be no problem as the song we sang, I'd Rather Have Jesus. If we could just see who he is and what he is worthy of, and in having Jesus, we have everything that we'll ever need. And I think our lives would just, the same thing would keep pouring out of our lives. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. I want to read a couple more, and then I want us to just join in and do that all together here in chapter 7 then. In verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. You know, that other multitude was angels, it says there in chapter 5. He beheld the voice of many angels around the throne. Well, it says, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I tell you, don't ever think that there isn't more with us than be with them. However evil and dark it gets here, I tell you what, heaven is completely full of those beings that are in the presence of God, that love and serve God for eternity. And he's inviting us to be part of that number. So now here there's this great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. That's people like us. I mean, look at the heart of God for the world, for the earth, for the inhabitants of the earth, that he provided salvation. And in that day, in that time, there's going to be people there from all nations, all kindreds, all people, all tongues. I think one of those words means ethnos, every ethnic group. Anyhow, they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So I don't know. I think there's a measure of this maybe even now, those that have gone on before that are clothed in the white robes of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not having their own righteousness, but have received the righteousness of Christ. And they're in those white robes. They have the palms in their hands. And notice what they cried. They cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. In the Amplified, it says, In a loud voice they cried, saying, Our salvation is due to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. To them we owe our deliverance. And I just praise God, wherever we are in our journey tonight, He's still the God that brings salvation and brings deliverance. And we can just, His work is continuing on this earth as we yield ourselves to Him. And then it says, And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, and I want us, I just, if you have a different translation, I don't think the words are much different. But why don't we stand just before God? Just think of the scene here. Of all of this multitude in heaven, then all of the angels. And they are the closest to God. They see who this God is. They see who this Lamb is. They behold His glory and just the majesty of who He is. And I think, you know, at times, and I'm doing this for a reason. Because I think sometimes our vision and our concept of who God and who Christ is gets so clouded because we're looking at all of the things that aren't. We're looking at all of the things that are evil many times. We're looking at all of the darkness around us and whatever. And sometimes we can be so overwhelmed by the reality of evil that it clouds. It's like, don't we know we have a God that's greater than this? Don't we know that we have a God that can save us and deliver us out of this? Don't we know that we have a God that we can pray to that actually hears and answers our prayers and wants to work in us all of the good pleasure of His will? So I want us to see, these are the ones that are closest to Him. They're right there in His presence, and this is what they see Him to be. And if we could just see that, I think to me, it just opens up the whole realm of prayer. How could I doubt this God? That those that really know Him better than we can ever know Him here, they know Him to be faithful and true and holy and righteous and bring salvation and deliverance to mankind. So let me read verse 11 then, and then I will say in verse 12, saying, and then let's say this all together, amen, blessing and glory and so on. And all of the angels stood around. Well, let me read verse 10 again, because this is this incredible multitude of people, and they cried with a loud voice. If you just need the release of crying this worship with a loud voice, just lift up. Heaven's not offended by that, because that's what they're doing in heaven. I know from our background, we can be pretty timid and shy and whatever, but I tell you, we're going to lose all that in heaven. Heaven, they're crying. They see who He is, and they're just, everything in them is crying out to worship and to praise this God. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, let's say it all together, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And I love that it starts with amen, because these others were saying salvation belongs to God, and amen means so be it. So they even, in response to the multitude that said salvation to our God, which sitteth, our salvation is due to our God, they respond in saying, so be it, glory and honor. So let's do that again. I seen you guys were getting into that. So just think about it. This is the worship of heaven. And we can just lift our eyes above the things that are going on here. And they know this God. And they know He's true. They know what He can do. They know what He can do for us tonight here in this place. They know His deliverance and His salvation that He's able to bring. Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. So be it, Lord. Maybe I'll just read. I want to just stay standing. We'll do another one. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And you know, I'm not going to get into the theology of eschatology or whatever, but it just really hit me. They came out of great tribulation, and yet they're before the throne of God with white robes. That is the power. It's never going to get too dark here that the salvation of God can't cover us and save us and deliver us from this present evil world. Because right here it says, these ones that were, this great multitude, says they that were, notice again, they were clothed in white robes with palms in their hands, this great multitude from every nation, whatever, they came out of great tribulation. Okay, let's turn yet to Revelation 15. I did kind of a strange thing this past year. Sometimes I read the Bible through in a year or whatever. But at the beginning of the year, I just felt that, you know, salvation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one we serve and follow. And so in all of this year, in my personal reading, now I did study outside of this. In my personal reading, I read through the Gospels, and Revelation is basically the only place I read for a whole year. Because I'm like, the one I'm following is Jesus, and I want to know who this Jesus is. And I'm not saying, you know, obviously I preached out of, you know, the whole Bible or whatever. But just for my personal meditation, I just felt to stay all year just right in. If I see Jesus, then Jesus is showing me the Father too. And that's why I was just touched today when Clendenin said in the School of Christ, we preach, what did he say? We preach a person, not a policy. We preach a Savior, not a creed. I don't know. He had a whole list of things there, and I'm like, yes, that's my heart. And Revelation is, again, we can study Revelation just for the eschatology and try to figure out how things are going to be, or we can study Revelation because it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why I wanted to read, along with the Gospels, I would read chapters in the Gospels and I would go to Revelation, read a chapter. Just did that all year. I don't know if I'm even going to get away from that. Maybe I need something more in my diet than that. I don't know. But to me, it's Jesus is our Savior, and if we can see Him and believe Him and follow Him, He's going to get us home. Some of this other stuff, we can debate it or whatever, you know, but anyhow, not saying the other isn't the Word of God, but it is, because it is. But Revelation 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. I tell you, God's going to settle the score. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And notice this. And they that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Church, there is victory for us. We get so frightened at times and the whole thing of the Antichrist, and we know those Antichrist spirits. I believe the whole Antichrist system is ready to be in place, but the revelation of Jesus Christ shows that through him, there are those there that got the victory over him and over his name and his mark and all of that. Hallelujah. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. I thought about going back to Genesis and looking at that, but I won't take the time. And the song of the Lamb. I'm not sure. I know what the song of Moses is, I guess, when they sang, when they got over the Red Sea. But what's the song of the Lamb? Does anyone, I didn't even think of that till just now. But they sang the song of Moses. These ones that got the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. And anyhow, they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, and let's say this together too, because church, you're going to have a time of prayer. But what value is prayer? Is if our heart is full of unsurety, of unbelief, of uncertainty, of if what God can do, or is he even going to do? Is he going to hear us? And that's why I kind of just somehow felt to go here to start with. Okay, saying, let's say this together. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. I tell you, when we get over there and realized how timid and fearful and unbelieving we were here, I mean, hopefully we can overcome that enough to get over there. But I think when we see him and the glory of who he is, we're just gonna wonder, why didn't we just cast everything on him? Why didn't we, like the song we sang, why didn't we give him everything? Why wasn't he the greatest treasure to us? And I think he is in a way, but you know, there's areas in our lives I think that need to be touched and sanctified. Let's turn to Luke 18. And I had shared this last time I was in here with some of the ministry, but somehow this just came to me to share tonight in connection with prayer. Very familiar scripture here, and I just felt like one of the times I was reading through there, it stood out to me. Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Or the Amplified says, turn coward, lose heart, and give up. So I think we know the value of persistent prayer. But I guess what really stood out to me one of the times I read this recently was the context here of persistent prayer. Jesus goes on saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So again, Jesus brought this principle of persistent prayer, being consistent and persistent in prayer. But the context that he brought it in is that this widow came to a judge and was crying out to him to avenge her of her adversary. And we know the story here. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, he adds this, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Church, we live, I believe, in the last days. And in Revelation, it says that in the last days, Satan knows that his time is short. And he doubles down on his effort to accomplish his agenda, somehow stop and hinder God's kingdom and God's agenda from taking place. And we know that ultimately he will not prevail. We know that God will prevail. But it's in this context that we have an adversary. And our adversary is persistent in what he is after. He is persistent. He is unrelentingly coming against the people of God and coming against our lives. And I guess I thought of this in connection with praying for your families here. He's unrelenting. He has no morals. He has no qualms about destroying a young life with, you know, some kind of perversion or whatever. I mean, whatever is evil, that's who he is. And because we have an adversary, it's one of the reasons, because we have an adversary that is persistent, we can meet what he's trying to do with persistent prayer, knowing that God will avenge us. God will retaliate against that word avenge, one of the meanings there in the Greek is retaliate. We need to cry out to God to move against what Satan wants to do in this generation with our families, with our children, within the church of Jesus Christ. And there's another thing here that stood out to me. This woman came to a judge. One of the reasons she was persistent in coming to the judge is she knew she had legal grounds to bring her case to the judge. She knew that she was standing on legal ground. She knew whatever that this avenger was trying to do, take her property away or whatever, she knew that this is mine. This belongs to me. This was given to me. And there's someone here, you know, trying to come around and take that away from me. And I think because she knew what was hers, she knew that legally she had the advantage from a legal standpoint, she would not back down. And I just want to encourage us in these, you know, the days that we live, that we need to know that the things that we ask for and come to God and plead for, that we have legal ground to have those things. You know, you can want to a new Ford or Dodge truck or whatever, and you can beg God for that and be as persistent as you want. I don't know that you have any legal ground for that. You know, that's kind of where some of this has gone, you know, through the years. And it's just, it's, but we can know what is ours, what has been freely and rightfully given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We can know what He has promised us. And we can stand on that ground. That is legal ground because it has legally been made available to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I, you know, we could just list a lot of things. I think one of the things is the salvation of your children. The spiritual prosperity of your families. I believe that God made that available. That I believe that is the will of God for His people. You know, it's not God's will that any perish. That's something that we can come to God. And again, we have an adversary. If he can get us to question what's legally ours, we're going to back up in being persistent in prayer. We're going to finally give up. It just don't seem like it's happening. And Jesus says here, don't do that. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And so, you know, we could list a lot of things. I mean, one of the things I believe that we could say is maybe some of you have been seeking the fullness of God's Spirit. I know Brother Ben has for years. You have legal ground to stand on and keep coming to God and say, God, this is what You provided for me. And I continue to ask You in the name of Jesus to drive back all the discouragement that Satan wants to bring against me to make me think that that can't happen to me. And we could list all of the things that have been so freely, beautifully provided through Jesus Christ. Church, Jesus died and gave His life. I mean, we heard some of the, you know, some of those just deep thoughts in the school here this last couple of days. But He went through, it cost Him everything to give us everything we need to live godly and righteously and to have an abundant life in Jesus, through Jesus Christ. And so that's again something that Satan, we have an adversary that's, he's trying to make sure that you don't have the fullness of what's been promised you. And I think in a way he can, maybe at some time he'll try to blame God for that, or he'll turn it around and blame you for that. But again, I wanted to read that in Revelations. If they overcame the beast, the mark of the beast, and all of that, He has made a way for us to overcome all of the doubts and the fears and the questionings of God and the things that God has provided for His people. He has made a way for us to overcome that. And part of that way is just simply through persistent prayer. God, I know what's mine. I know what Your word says. I know what You promised. And I keep coming to You and humbly asking You, appreciated what Brother Jesse shared, a broken and a contrite spirit. We don't come to God in a boastful, proud spirit. We're very humbled that He would offer the great reality of His character and His nature, He would actually share that with a broken, sinful people. That we actually receive the nature of God. And so we can just keep coming. And Jesus said, keep coming. God will God will avenge us speedily. Sometimes it don't seem so fast, but he does. He will. That's why they worship him that way in heaven, because they know he's true, faithful and true and just and so on. Some of the words that they worship God with, because that's who he is. Again, we live in a day when our adversary is seeking to keep us and your children from possessing what is rightfully yours. And again, this demands persistent prayer and faith on our part. We must fight against the enemy by continually going to God and just opening our life and saying, God, I need everything that you've provided for me in this day that we live. I need it all. I need the fullness of who you are and what you've provided. Again, this is a legal issue in the spirit realm. Our adversary knows what's legally ours, but he tries to get us discouraged, get us to believe and start doubting God. He knows what's ours. He knows what's been provided for us. But he's always working to try to undermine that in us. And he tries to confuse us as to our legal right to possess God's fullness that he promised. And then I just want to say here too, in verse 8, in the Amplified, it says, I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge you them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith? It adds that thought there. And I guess in the original writings there, that thought is there in the sentence structure, that will he not just find faith, but will he find persistence in faith? And again, that I think he says that because there was probably never a day when persistence in prayer and faith are needed like it is right up until the coming of Jesus Christ. And so may we be faithful in that. Persistent faith will produce persistent prayer. We're still believing. God, I'm might not see the fullness of it, but I know you are true, and we're still believing, God, for you to do and accomplish what you've promised to do. And so I think persistence, how do we know if we have persistent faith? I think one of the ways to know that is, are we persistent in prayer? Do we just know that this is my help comes from the Lord. I have no other resource. I have nowhere else to go. I'm just going to, Father, I just come to you again. I'm simply yours, and you promised to be everything for me. And I keep looking to you for that and expecting and believing. And again, the promise is that God will, he will avenge us. He will drive back the enemy. He does. I mean, I'm sure you guys prayed for those kidnapped ones in Haiti. Just prayed and prayed. Our prayers together as the body of Christ around the world, they said they were praying for those. God answered miraculously. God delivered. Your faith was a part of that. Just recently, my wife and I have just been amazed at answers to prayer. How sometimes it seems like it's so long, where's that miracle? And yet all of a sudden, there's that miracle. And I think God, I mean, he wants us, he's worthy that we believe him and not doubt him in anything that he said. He's worthy of that. They know that in heaven. They know that he's worthy, that we never doubt one word that he says and believe him to fulfill and to accomplish all that's in his heart to accomplish. You know, my brother-in-law got COVID here a month ago or so, had pneumonia. And they were doctoring at home, and you know, and all the controversy that even comes out of that in the day we live. But there was even a nurse coming in that was helping and so on, and all of a sudden he couldn't breathe. His oxygen count went down to 70 some percent. Ends up in the emergency room, ends up in intensive care. And we're just like, you know, man, when they get in there and get on them machines, I mean, a lot of times it is over. And we just prayed. He has some children that aren't with the Lord, and we just prayed and prayed. And others were praying and so on. And while he was in there, in intensive care, he told his wife to call again and ask for prayer. And shortly after that, all of a sudden, he felt the COVID go right out of his body. And in no time, he was out of the hospital and back. He's still recovering his strength. But it was over. He's still God. He's still God. And he wants to be that miracle for your children, for your family, to that you can have vibrant, loving, spirit-filled children that worship and serve the God you do. And so, again, think about tonight when we pray, when you pray, when we pray together for the families. Think about who this God is, and don't doubt anything, because they're not doubting up there. They know who he is. So let's join that. Let's join that worship that they're giving him. And it's an aspect of worship that I believe what he said is true. He cannot lie. That's an aspect of worship. God bless you, brother.